And joining us right now at the table, Saikat Chowdhury, who's executive director of the Mack Institute. Great to have him here as one of the main people involved in this program here today for the Blockchain Summit. Great to see you again.
Good to be on here on your show again. Thanks.
Thank you. This type of event does what for the prospects of blockchain going forward?
I think for blockchain, it really allows people to understand it. You know, people throw around this terminology right. without really understanding what it's about. This event tells you what it's about, what the potential is, gets people inspired, fired up, dreaming, thinking about potential applications.
The interesting thing, though, is that sometimes with new innovation, they are limited to the types of areas that innovation may show up. It doesn't seem like there are many limitations, at least we're seeing from here today, on the potentials of where blockchain may have a purpose in the business community, even with consumers later on.
I agree with you entirely. I think that's what makes blockchain so exciting and why there are so many people here from across different sectors. Blockchain is a bit more fundamental. All it is a digital ledger, a distributed ledger. If you can make any kind of interaction between two parties or transaction more efficient and take out an intermediary, the applications are humongous. We think of the financial industry, of course, where you've got these centralized institutions that may be taken out or money can be moved in a matter of seconds or less than that. But more than that, think about the connected car. Think about all these connected devices that are going to come up in the future. If they can self-regulate, any piece of software that you subscribe to, pretty much that's a smart contract that can interact. Any type of digital interaction, if that can really be put on a technology like blockchain, then it'll really automate so much of how this world works.
Saikat Chowdhury joins us from the Wharton School, joining us here at the Blockchain Summit. I find it interesting that whether it is the financial sector or devices that we may have in our home through the Internet of Things or healthcare, that there are so many people and so many businesses that are thinking how this can work for them. This is truly almost a bit of a transformational moment, is it not?
It can be. I think right now the excitement is high because we see the potential. There will be different kinds of obstacles in the way, though. Regulation being one of them, especially in areas like the financial sector. But I want to be optimistic as well, and the enthusiasm is warranted. But the way you actually view the world on blockchain depends a little bit on whether you're a new startup or new entrant, or whether you're an incumbent established player. The banks, for example, are thinking about this more as a threat because this could disrupt them, right? And take the intermediary out of the equation. Whereas new players in the space of moving money around are very excited. So if you could, for example, exchange money or send money through WhatsApp or Facebook, which we started to do already without the intermediary, those guys are clearly excited.
I mentioned earlier in the show Amazon. Companies like that could end up I think having an unbelievable vehicle to be able to move value in an even quicker fashion.
That's an absolutely, that's a statement that I fully agree with. And there are two aspects to it, though. I mean, I think one is just the sheer efficiency of getting things done and transactions done. That'll save tons of money for huge organizations and corporations and even countries. And the second is just the stuff that you could automate and interact with, just between points and devices and people. Fascinating.
You mentioned regulation. What other pitfalls are potentially there that still need to be crossed? And I say that because part of what blockchain is came out of Bitcoin. Well, Bitcoin hasn't exactly lit the world on fire. You know, it's used to a degree, but blockchain seemingly has a little bit more steam pushing it downhill.
Yes. I think in addition to the regular challenges with any new technology, you've got the reputational concerns or the image. You know, I mean, Bitcoin has a part positive, but also part negative connotation to it, just because much of the underworld uses that as transaction currency as well.
Right.
And so we've got that challenge. On top of that, you've got to get people to accept And really be willing to say that, all right, everything's decentralized now. I'm comfortable. I place trust in a new system that doesn't go through central channels. That's not easy, at least in large volumes or large amounts.
You mentioned the word, and it's been mentioned by all of our guests so far, is the word trust. And that ends up being a very important word in the description of blockchain, does it not?
It does, because anything which is democratized, which you really spread amongst people, where there's no reputable or legitimate institution sort of in the middle of it, requires trust for people to do it. But it's not impossible. If you look at eBay, who would have thought 15, 20 years ago that we would be transacting with people that we don't even know? If you look at Uber, who would have thought we would be getting into cars with strangers?
Right.
But if there's a mechanism in place to really manage, create that trust, or at least be some kind of safeguard, then I think people are willing to try, and they're primed for it. This is not the first time we're experiencing that. Any form of e-commerce really required a huge amount of trust to order something which you have not seen, touched, felt, where the transactions occur. And
I want to throw out a couple of examples and have you tell the listeners how blockchain could be affecting that area in the future. First, the auto industry.
The auto industry, one immediate application there is we're going to connected vehicles, which have really autonomous cars, which interact with the traffic infrastructure, other vehicles, pedestrians, your music. The list is endless. All of those transactions that take place between these different services and products and infrastructure could go on platforms like blockchain.
Right. Healthcare.
Healthcare could have a variety of applications. At the heart of it is I think the change that we're experiencing in healthcare more broadly is the consumer is coming into the focus. And there, through preventive medicine, through apps, can control a lot more. So if you imagine a world where, let's say, you've got devices and gadgets that are constantly monitoring you, right?
Right.
You could use a technology like blockchain in order to transmit information, keep tabs on you, relay information in both directions, both with your doctor, but also generally with systems to monitor your health, and then take action accordingly.
One that's actually being discussed here at this conference is the music industry and the issue of payments to artists, to musicians. Obviously, that's a topic that's in the news quite often right now.
Absolutely right. And this actually ties well with the healthcare example, too, where privacy and confidentiality and security is paramount. If you can use a third party, which authenticates and is secure, and that's not yet established with blockchain, I want to point out. That's
right.
One more challenge.
Right.
But if you can do that and you take out the middlemen, right, then what you're able to do is ensure confidentiality, privacy, protection of intellectual property, all yeah. these things handled by a system.
Real estate as well.
Yes, real estate. So real estate is an interesting one. Yes, on the transaction side.
Right.
On the other hand, there's something physical about real estate as well. You know, so I think that when you're dealing with commercial property or whether you're dealing with just private property, if you go out, people want to see things. There is the potential of doing it that way. But
right.
I think the human element and then the physical element will still play a major role, which is why today we use Zillow, for example,
yeah.
Or, you know, erstwhile Trulia to look up stuff. But we still go visit these properties yeah. and these houses to conduct transactions.
You mentioned regulation, and obviously the government piece to this becomes a very interesting because of the fact that I think we mentioned this with you once or twice, is the fact that government at times does not stay up with the latest and greatest new things that happen. Is government already understanding that blockchain is something that they need to consider going forward?
Yes, governments around the world understand it. I want to draw a distinction, though. I think, first of all, the tension that governments have is they need to protect and not jump onto every new thing that comes. They need to really think about the implications. And for that, they almost by definition have to be a little slow because they need to see what's happening. You can't imagine the world of possibilities.
Right.
At the same time, they have to try and promote not only consumer interest, but advancement of society. There's an interesting difference, though. If you look at emerging market governments right now, such as China, for example, right, or some of the African governments, too, they're embracing various kinds of new technologies, which will enable them to leapfrog, right, just like mobile happened in telecommunications. So whether it comes to any kind of peer-to-peer transactions technology, the Chinese government is actively supporting it because that's their way to promote financial inclusion. And that's the way for them to get into the race and be ahead of the curve. On the other hand, I can imagine the Western economies, particularly after the experience of the financial crisis, being concerned about the stability of the system. Right. So the potential benefits may not outweigh the risks immediately, whereas in the other case, gosh, I've got to get, you know, hundreds of millions of people into the banking system, can't do it through traditional channels, this is the way to do it, let me go for it.
Then how do you tackle the other areas of the world, like Africa and South America, and not all of the areas, but some of them, where the connectivity is not as good as it is here in the United States or Europe or Asia?
That's where we come back to infrastructure being one of the challenges, but also the fundamental enablers, right? Yes. I think that's where, without that in place, you're absolutely right, it's challenging, but it's not impossible. In Africa, for example, mobile payments based on simple text messaging, right, are commonplace nowadays. In fact, Africa, you could say, is a pioneer and a leader in that space. So I think we have to think about bottom of the pyramid solutions as well. We can't just go for the highest end solution for everything. You know, even if you don't have smartphones, in the interim, we can come up with good technologies. In that sense, the concept of something like blockchain is very simple. And we need to find applications for it that will work at all levels of society.
Finally, I had somebody here earlier today talk about the fact that blockchain could even influence education going forward.
Yeah, I think in a world where we look at online education, on the one hand, of course, every sector is affected by the payment part of it,
sure,
but let's
yeah.
take that out for a minute.
Yeah.
But if you look at education, keeping track of credits, things are moving towards MOOC systems,
yeah.
everything's going online. I mean, from that point of view, if you think about how degrees might evolve over time or certificates may evolve over time in terms of a number of credits accumulated over a period of time,
right.
you engaging with the institution, we could automate a lot of that with technologies like this. The one thing I do want to say, though, in closing, I think what's exciting about blockchain is not the technology itself per se, but really the product, process, and business model innovations that come with it. I think
right.
that's where the opportunity lies, but also the challenges.
Great to see you again. Thank you very
it's
much.
It's really
for
good
joining
to be here,
us.
Dan. Thanks
Great
a lot.
Great job putting this together. Saikat Chowdhury from the Wharton School and Executive Director of the Mack Institute joining us here in New York City.